Vehicle transport.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, we vowed never to mention the M word on the Paracast, but sometimes we have no choice. We do mention it. Ron Rodera is our guest this week. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Let us segue very quickly from the M word in the case and he who shall not be named, which is, of course, the name we gave to the person who represents him in the USA. Let's move away from that. Let's not resurrect the past. But you've done some on-site research in a lot of areas. Because we only have a two-hour radio show or a three-hour radio show, and we don't have time to cover everything. Chris was telling me that among the cases you looked into was Roswell, and you had some interesting findings. How did you get involved in that?
Okay, I think everybody sort of gets a peripheral nudge. It's been in ufology from Roswell one way or the other.
You think?
It's the granddaddy of all UFOs. My involvement began with a gentleman by the name of James Bond. He was a photographer for the newspaper in Fort Worth, Fort Worth Star Telegram. And so James Bond Johnson took a series of what you could either call famous or infamous, depending on your point of view, photographs of stuff in General Roger Ramey's office on the floor on July 8, 1947. Now, this was purported to be the wreckage from the crashed UFO from Roswell. A little bit of background, I'll keep it under 2 minutes if I can. Somewhere in late June, early July, something came down on a ranch in New Mexico. The rancher, Mac Brazil, who was a ranch hand on the ranch, took this stuff to the sheriff's office. Over the course of a period of time, they called George Wilcox, the sheriff. He called the Air Force, and the Air Force intelligence officer for the 509th Bomb Wing, Major Jesse Marcel, and Captain Sheridan Cavett, who was the CIS, not remember what CIS stands for right off the top of my head, went out to the ranch with the rancher, spent the night there, picked up a bunch of this stuff, threw it in the back into their Buick and the Jeep carryall, drove it back to Roswell, and apparently on the way back, Major Marcel stopped at home and showed it to his wife and son, Jesse Marcel Jr.
And now Jesse Marcel Jr., by the way, who right now is a retired physician, he was on the Paracast a couple of years ago. He has a book out on the subject where he touched something, some material they brought to the house.
Right. So this material then apparently was taken back to Roswell Field, packaged up, loaded in a B-29, and flown to Dallas-Fort Worth, where the packages were taken to General Ramey's office. According to Mr. Johnson, who I think he passed in 2006, I'm not sure, I'll have to check my notes, but it was just a couple of years ago, very recently. He got there, and he was friends with, I'm not remembering the name of General Ramey's aide. He's in the photographs there with him. But anyway, they were going back to the B-29 to see the bigger pieces, and they said, there's several packages of debris in the office. Why don't you go unwrap them, because there was a tight schedule to meet the East Coast deadline. Remember, the newspapers were the medium then. We didn't have much in the way of live TV.
This was not the 24/7 news cycle of now.
Yeah.
Okay, now we obviously have mentioned many things about the Roswell case. Let's get specific to your involvement of it, okay?
And so anyway, he took this series of photographs. six photographs, two with Major Marcel, two with the general by himself, and two with the general and his aide. Time passed. They were published in one magazine, one book. Nobody remembered it until the case was resurrected. But then along comes Major General Ramey's widow in 1998, and she asks George Fodder, the same George Fodder we mentioned earlier, if he could shed any light on these photos, because her son and daughter, the general's son and daughter, were upset because their dad was getting some bad press for lying to the American people. And she wanted to know what was in those photographs, if it was a Roswell debris or not. So George knew James Bond Johnson, the photographer, called him. James Bond Johnson had just seen my one of my UFO presentations, Orange County MUFON, and he liked the idea that if I didn't know something, I said I didn't know it and didn't make things up. So he wanted me to evaluate the photos and see what they were. He thought it was debris, but he couldn't remember too well. So we ordered some 16 by 20 prints of each of those six photos and started doing an analysis of them. I'll bottom line it for you, and then we can go into any amount of detail you wish. Nothing in any of those photographs was from a Mogul balloon. The Air Force lied. That's the bottom line.
All right. Now, okay, we're in 2010 as this show was being taped. So the big issue is here, how now do we get more information about Roswell? Where's the smoking gun? Because it's a lot of fascinating information. Certainly, maybe it's not Mogul. It's not this, it's not that. Does the military have the wreckage still? What's going on? Can we ever get to the bottom?
I believe they do. But they're not going to tell us. I believe they've got many recovered craft. And probably occupants as well. I would be shocked if they didn't. But my involvement with the Roswell photographs was to do the analysis on what was in them. And I can assure you there's some bizarre, bizarre things. There's what looks to a casual glance to be balsa wood, for example. There's hollow tubes that you can see in them. There's an I-beam with strange symbols in them, just as described by Jesse Marcel Jr. The balloon material has what looks like solder droplets. But the most compelling and revealing of all is the memo, the written text that's held in General Ramey's hand. And we've been able to read the memo, almost all of it. And it talks about the victims of the wreck forwarded to Fort Worth, Texas, and tells about how a weather balloon would be a good cover story. So that's probably the biggest smoking gun of everything in the photographs, that memo that was taken of General Ramey revealed.
These are 16 by 20s off the original negatives, correct? So we're looking talking super high-res photographs that you're able to really zero in on and get details that normally you wouldn't be able to get from, the famous shots that we've seen over the years in magazines and books. This is off the original negatives.
We were early on, and since then, many, many other researchers have gone in and gotten copies and gotten duplicate negatives and made their own and looked at them. And we were the first ones to do that. Not that we're any better at it. Not blowing our own horn out of the fact that somebody had to be first. It just had to be us.
Okay, so you were in the right place at the right time, as some people said. We're going to move into our next segment in just a moment. I wanted to mention to everybody, we have forums where you can talk about all this stuff. Forum.paracast.com, forum.paracast.com. All you have to do is sign up, give yourself a username. And as long as the username is accepted, which means it's not duplicated, doesn't use one of the seven deadly words, we'll have you join us. We want you to participate. Ron Reger joining us this week. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder seeds and oil, try our 5-pound sampler, and get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Ron Reger, who works with MUFON, doing lots of investigation on UFOs. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, so today we have the amount of material that you've got. What can we do today if the U.S. government has Warehouse 13 with the wreckage from Roswell? Maybe they're keeping the alien bodies on ice. how do we get them to tell us what they know?
Boy, I wish I knew that.
We want to know everything. We want all the answers. We can handle the truth.
Send $10 to Chris O'Brien, B. O'Brien. Send you the answers.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Ron. Let's dovetail from one crash retrieval, potential crash retrieval, to another one. I remember back in, I think it was 2003 or 4, there was a story being floated around by some area investigators. You were state director, I think, at the time for MUFON in Utah. And I was contacted by one of your Utah investigators about an alleged crash that occurred right along the Utah-Nevada border, and there was a strange marking in the desert that was visible from the air. And there seemed to be something kind of nefarious going on with the site. A woman UFO investigator happened to hear about the story and did a complete investigation.
Now, let's mention who that person is, okay?
Well, I love it. I love her dearly, but boy, she's the dragon queen of ufology. Linda Moulton Howe was brought in on the case. Did a site visit, and something didn't quite add up in your mind, if I remember correctly, Ron. And you did your own investigation. And why don't you kind of lead us through what happened after that?
Okay. Well, Linda made a presentation at Ryan Wood's crash retrieval conference in Las Vegas, and I was intrigued because this happened in my state. And one of the things that she brought out in her presentation was this list of people who had showed up at this little teeny remote area in the desert of western Utah. But what in the heck were they doing there? I mean, this was high-ranking officers of the Air Force, Army, Department of Defense, several civilian contractors. I mean, it didn't make any sense. And that, coupled with what she presented, made it sure sound like there was something very, very strange going on. And I bought into her story. And so what I did was I suggested to Linda, since she did not live nearby and I did, I could go and check out some of these names and some of these people and some of these events and do a little more legwork for her, since it was obviously a lot more difficult for her to get there than it was for me. So I went out there on a lark. I just figured, well, I'd like to go see for myself. As it turns out, we met the station manager. We just happened to be there. I mean, we didn't call ahead, nothing. We drove on just fat, dumb, and happy like other people had, except we didn't have to break anything. He was there. We got about a one-hour interview. I've got it all on tape. Matter of fact, I've got it on video. What's going on here? And he laughed, and he turns out that he didn't know. He'd just come on, Stan Kitchen is his name, a few years ago. He didn't know anything about it, but somebody had broken into the facility and stolen his logbook. And that was still an active government facility, and as such, it was a federal crime to break into it and steal material. But he was generous. He said, if they just send me a photocopy for my, so I can have a complete record of the attendance log, he said, I'll be happy. He didn't want to press any charges. He didn't want to throw anybody in jail. So in the process, though, we were still curious. Was this really a 2,000-foot by 3,000-foot triangular-shaped UFO that had crashed in the desert in 1947 And he just laughed, and he said, no, I didn't think so. And this strange anomalous feature is about a mile to 2 miles away from the experimental range where this facility was. So we started looking. He said, you're welcome to go. As a matter of fact, he insisted, because he had got so many telephone calls, so many people coming there to visit as a result of Linda's discussion and posting this on her Earth Files webpage. By the way, it's www.earthfiles, I think it's a webpage. Excellent material, most of it. And he just was disgusted with all these visitors and breaking in. Somebody has stolen a bunch of solar panels from his solar panel array. And this place is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's way out there. So he insisted. We took us through every single room of every single building, move furniture, move file cabinets, let us thump on walls, thump on floors, look at every single thing. And let me assure you, nothing mysterious going on.
What was that facility actually used for? What was the official purpose for it being there?
Okay, it was started in the 1930s as an experimental station to determine the effects of grazing on the desert. This is a high desert area. How many, what do they call them? Eating units or grazing units? How many bovine grazing units? That's what the government calls cows, bovine grazing units, which he thought was kind of funny. Per acre can they have? And so they were established to mark out. They have this area divided into sections. I didn't measure them and didn't ask, and he didn't tell, but I'd say roughly 100 yards to a side, fenced off, and then they would allow cattle to graze in there for a period of time and then fence it off and see how it recovered. And then what he would do with the whole area is opened up to grazing now. Maybe 100 acres at a time, and he goes.
So the long and short of it is, there's nothing mysterious going on there.
It sounds pretty mundane.
Well, it's nothing mysterious at all. But she, Glenda, didn't do her homework. What it turns out is, the reason for the visiting officers was that they had considered that facility, as since the federal government owned it, for one of the racetrack for the missile program. Remember, we were going to put our missiles there on trains and run them around the desert so the Soviets couldn't figure out where they were? And they were considering that for one of the sites. So they'd come out there to look at it. That's why all the Air Force folks were there.
Well, what was that strange, huge marking out in the desert, that triangular-shaped, it looked like a depression out in the desert? Did you ever get to the bottom of that?
It turns out to be a natural geologic feature. I Googled triangular geologic features or something like that and found there are literally thousands of them around the world. Two of them under the Great Salt Lake, as you can see in aerial photos. If it had been something bizarre, something out of the ordinary, something like, especially the crashed UFO, she claimed it was part of the actual Kingman, Arizona UFO crash.
Okay, well, we'll get into more of this in a moment here. Ron Ruggiero joining us this week. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
Most Americans believe famine and hunger will never happen. But what if, day one, mayhem breaks out at grocery stores? Day three, families are on edge. Day five, the neighbors come knocking. Day 10, small bands of thieves begin stealing at gunpoint. Day 15, desperation, but the government can't help because there's no food left. Introducing the grab-and-go emergency food supply from Solutions from Science. 84 delicious, nutritious food servings, including breakfast, lunch, and dinner entrees, enough to feed 4 adults for a week. Every meal 100% vegetarian for longer shelf life. Claim your grab-and-go emergency food supply today at foodshortagesolutions.com. That's foodshortagesolutions.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Grab-and-go emergency food supply. Better a year too soon than one day too late.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
As the show progresses, neighbors, Chris' voice gets deeper and deeper, and soon he'll be totally asleep. But he's also co-host this week, so he has to stay awake. The guest is Ron Regier, longtime UFO researcher. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. So the long and short of it is, what is Linda Moltenhau saying about this case that turned out to have nothing to it?
Well, she was claiming it was a crashed UFO, and it was too big to transport, so they covered it up and used apparently heavy equipment to cover it up because it protrudes. This is about, roughly 3 to 4 foot higher than the surrounding desert terrain. That's why you can see it. I'll turn it off to this. It was a team in Arizona crash. They had 11 days to get the troops assembled to cover it up because the photograph was taken 11 days after the Kingman, Arizona crash. They couldn't have done it in that period of time.
So you put together, I think, a 20-page report, and you sent it to Linda. What happened?
I sent it to Linda before I published it, saying, this is what I discovered. I'd like you to have a chance to review it and comment on it before I publish it, because I don't like to publish things behind people's back. She ignored it. Then I went to physically saw her at the following crash retrieval conference and gave her another opportunity because she was going to present on the same dang thing, an update on that. And I says, Linda, there's nothing to it. And she was adamant that she was right and that I was wrong. And so she was somewhat embarrassed.
So you're wrong here. So what were you, part of the problem, a government disinformation agent? What?
She never said. She just said she was going to present it. The other case in Utah was you'll love this one. A young boy, either 2 years old or 5 years old, depending on which part of his story you want to believe, who helped his father design and build the first transistorized radar station on a place called Blowhard Mountain in Utah.
Well, that explains it all. I don't have to say anything more.
I loved it. Turn it out, there are two radar facilities up there, neither of which has ever been owned by the federal government. And that was a simple call to the county recorder's office.
Okay, so the motto again is don't bother me with facts. And also, yeah. Linda Moulton-Hile, and we have not really wanted to invite her on the show for those reasons, because it would be, you know, kind of a shouting match or something, because we'd have to be in Mike Wallace mode, and we'd have to correct some of the things. You know, like the thing about the drones. A couple of years back, we have these pictures of drones, which, of course, were made up by some special effects artists, beneath which they had Star Wars lettering. But she took it seriously.
Yeah, so didn't you love that? The Carrot Corporation or something like that, if I remember correctly. C-A-R-E-T. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had a ball discussing it at the time, but it made her look really bad because she's basically accepting all this stuff, and it's so unfortunate because when you have people who are not doing their research, and maybe they like to tell good stories, and it's good to have a good story, you know, nothing wrong with telling good stories. We have people who come on the PowerCast every so often, and they tell stories, and some are true and some are not, especially the conspiracy theory tales. Really interesting. But we have something like UFOs. It's something that we can't get a handle on. We don't really know the secrets. Maybe there is the silence group in the U.S. government with the recovered crash refuge and the alien bodies and all this stuff. Maybe it's happening, but then you have the storytellers who go about making up tall tales. Now, maybe we should move away from the tall tales. Now, you did some work on Roswell, very useful. What other key cases have you studied where you've done some personal research to assess whether something was genuine?
Probably the most compelling UFO case of all, and that would be the Iranian UFO case. And that was where the Imperial Iranian Air Force launched two F-4 fighters, not at the same time, one fighter, subsequently another fighter, to intercept and shoot down a UFO that was terrorizing the population of their capital, Tehran. And this was probably the best UFO case ever. It started out with the air traffic controller at the Tehran airport getting a call of a strange light. And we can all laugh at strange lights in the skies, but sometimes they turn out to be something much more than a light. That was the case here. That strange light was maneuvering over the city, so they launched an F-4, which was then the top-of-the-line fighter. We were in good with the, this is in 1974, with the Shah of Iran. And so we launched this F-4 fighter to attempt to intercept, find out what this light is. He said it was a craft. He tried to, as soon as he got radar locked, that is, as soon as his weapon system was ready to launch a missile at the target, all his onboard electronics failed. The plane started to fall out of the sky because he didn't have any controls. And as soon as he ceased to be a threat, all his electronics came on again. He was a little bit upset about that, as was the air traffic controller. In the meantime, while this is going on, everybody in the Imperial Iranian Air Force High Command was notified, including the commander of, which would be the same thing as our Secretary of the Air Force. So they ordered the launch of a second F-4, believing that one had malfunctioned or the pilot had gone goofy or something else. The second F-4 closed on the target. As soon as radar lock was achieved, all onboard electronics failed. As soon as the plane failed to be a threat, they all came back on again.
They didn't want us to see them.
I'm sorry?
They didn't want us to see them get too close.
Or to get shot at. I've been an engineer for quite a few years, and I can assure you we can cause electronics to fail. We can do that. The big EMP pulse will shut down electronics.
So you think that maybe a civilization that's a couple of thousand years ahead of us can do that at the snap of a finger?
Yeah, well, they did it there at the snap of a finger twice. And so I reported on this. This was also seen by two commercial airliners, their crew and passengers. But the most compelling of all was my involvement, and we spotted it from our DSP satellite. And so we had 38 frames of observation of this thing. It was not only over Tehran, it continued on from Tehran over across somewhere around Portugal where it was last seen. So here we have this event that was detected by about 500,000 people on the ground, windows broken, car wrecks, people panicking. The DIA station chief said it was worthy of further investigation when he reported that to his boss at the DIA, who sent that memo on to the President of the United States, the head of the CIA, the head of the U.S. Air Force, among others. So we have a noteworthy event. And I've written probably 24 years on that and never got a single response back other than we have no record responsive to your request.
So basically, you have the satellite information. You know the satellite information exists. But as far as the U.S. government is concerned, we have nothing for you.
That's right.
Okay. And they know who you are.
Write the 60-day report. Every 60 days, we'd write a report to the Air Force of what happened in the preceding 60-day period with their satellite. I'd write the dang reports.
Yeah, so you were requesting from the government your own report, and they said it didn't exist, right?
Well, that's very interesting. Maybe they're giving you a qualitative comment there, or being a little too critical of what you read. And I'm being facetious here, ladies and gentlemen. If you have more to say about what you hear on this episode, send it to news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. Ron Regier joining us, longtime UFO researcher, talking about his personal experiences observing, gathering evidence about the reality of UFOs. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers, and all WindBlue Power kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code radio for 5% off, or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods and after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With zero debt in 90 days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Ron Reger regaling us. Boy, that, you know how to put that kind of phrase. Regaling us about his experiences, about trying to recover from the government, his own reports that he submitted, and he's told they do not exist. Maybe that's a critic saying that, didn't like your report, I'm really being facetious again. Chris O'Brien's the co-host, I'm Gene Steinberg, you're in the Paracast. So did you ever say, hey guys, I wrote this report, I sent it to you, how can you tell me it's not there?
I did one better. I went down to the office. I said, look, I sent you this report. And he says, well, I know, but he says, we're not part of the FOIA, so you've got to talk to our FOIA office. So I went to the FOIA office. I said, this is, you know, I sent this report on this date to this office, this address. Here is the distribution list as required by our contract. And still, no records responsive. I mean, they just stonewall. They don't mind lying when it suits them to lie.
It sounds like a politician.
Yeah, and that's their job. After so many, as I said, I know I've submitted well over 1,000 FOIA requests, not just on this, but on many other subjects. And sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. In the last 2 years, or actually the last four, the last 2 years of the previous administration and so far in this administration, they've got markedly worse in responding. I would say hope and change is hopeless and changeless. And it's, as far as FOIAs go, they're more secretive than I suspect anyone in the Soviet Union ever wanted to be. I mean, these
so much for transparency in government, right?
it's sad because almost everything now is falls under the purview of Homeland Security and exempt from disclosure. So it's I don't know where we're going to go from here. It's just a sad commentary that we're having our freedoms eroded so quickly.
Well, the Patriot Act, I mean, if we're going to get into politics, let's get into politics very briefly. The Patriot Act gives the government more authority over the things that you do.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, I could talk politics longer than I could talk UFOs, but I won't.
Well, yeah, well, let's take a look, though, at disclosure, because this raises the issue of disclosure. And some people are suggesting every time there's a new administration that this president will be more amenable to revealing information about UFOs. And certainly,
I think they go into the office
right
with the as anticipation of being open and honest, and then they get briefed, and then they know what's going to happen, and they shut up. Jimmy Carter went public and said he would tell everybody because he had a sighting. John Podesta was going to reveal all. He was a close associate with in the Clinton administration and current with the current administration for a
while. And he also wrote the foreword for Leslie Kane's new book.
Right. And so we have sympathizers, but they are either incompetent, inept, or have been told this is as far as you can go and no farther. Now, about disclosure, I want to make clear my position on disclosure. I'd like to see it, but it ain't going to happen. People are more concerned about the stain on some office-age dress than they are about disclosure. So the people in this country do not want disclosure. If they do, they demand it.
Yeah, but maybe the people in this country aren't demanding it because they don't know there's something to disclose.
No, there's that, but they've seen the tabloids. They've seen the newspaper. You know, the porn is the most popular thing on the web right now, followed closely by UFOs. And I mean, you know, we don't have to disclose anything in the porn industry, but we sure have a lot of cover-up going on. And I love that transition, cover-up as opposed to porn.
And
UFOs.
Stained addresses also.
Yes. So people are interested, fascinated, but it still elicits more giggles than it does serious comment. And so our job, if we're going to do anything to bring about disclosure, is, I think, started by having discussions such as Paracast, supporting somebody like Jeff Peckman and his initiative for the...
Jeff Peckman has got some credentials there that are a little questionable, such as his involvement in the Stam and Romanek case.
Yeah, I understand that. But at least he's got the initiative going that may very well pass in Denver to open up another gate towards disclosure.
And you know what? The thing is, the way the reality of recording shows is concerned, we'll know that answer when this show is heard.
Well, by the time the show airs.
That's right. We'll know if you're right or wrong. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to really put you on the spot, Ron. Okay,
yeah.
Knowing that we are a little over a week away from when the show will be aired, a few days ahead of Election Day, do you think this measure in Colorado is going to pass?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
I do.
All right, but the thing I'm concerned about more so than that, you know, okay, so Jeff Peckman gets signatures and puts up a ballot initiative, and maybe it'll do some good, maybe it won't.
Right.
The question I have is more the concern about the people who are involved in exopolitics, you know. It's like setting up interplanetary agencies that we're supposed to know how to deal with ET. What do you think of exopolitics?
I think they're well-meaning buffoons.
Can we quote you on that?
I think we just did.
You did. No, I think they're
well-meaning. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely, I agree.
But I don't mean that as a slur against them. You know, there's a lot of well-meaning people with good ideas that ain't going to happen. The government does not want disclosure. Otherwise, they'd open their doors and say, here it is, folks.
How could you believe them anyway? They've been lying for 60-plus years.
Yeah, well, they could release some stuff that would probably blow your and my socks off.
But here's the problem about this also. We don't believe the government anymore. The government is incompetent. The bureaucrats are incompetent. So even if the government comes up there and says, well, now we'll admit that there is ET out there, and they appear to be visiting us. If they even said that, maybe we wouldn't believe them.
Yeah, well, it depends. I will be the last one to jump on any administration's bandwagon and pat them on the back. And in many areas, they're liars and rogues and thieves. But they do other things quite well.
Yeah, they keep secrets.
They continue to do things quite well in spite of the politicians. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, and it depends on how it was done and who did it.
And well, how much of this
is not going to happen?
How much of this over-the-top classified information that, you know, of exotic technologies, some of the things that kind of have that hint of sci-fi, how much of this do you think is contained within the private sector and that actually the government wouldn't be able to release it even if they wanted to? How much of this this exotic technology knowledge and possibly knowledge of UFOs and ETs, how much of that is held in the private sector, do you think, having been there for 30-plus years?
There's probably quite a bit of it. And the problem is that, you know, it gets interlocked with contracts, with Armed Service Procurement Regulations. It gets so intertwined that it becomes a nightmare. Let's assume that half of what Colonel Corso said was true, which I don't think half of it is, but let's just take that as a starting point. You know, night vision goggles developed by the different labs as a result of being dribbled information from an alien crash retrieval. Well, you know, they then developed that on their own, and that is their technology now.
Right, it's proprietary intellectual property.
Yeah, and the same thing would be true of everything else that Corso brought out, assuming it were true. So he just sort of provided the carrot to say, hey, and engineers are a strange bunch. They're like a lot of people, you know, it can't be done. Oh, somebody did it, therefore I can do it.
And well, the other thing I have concerns about with Colonel Corso is the fact that we have this distinguished military figure. Towards the end of his life, he comes out with this book that he co-wrote with Bill Burns called The Day After Roswell. And I ask this over and over again, why would he make it all up, or even a lot of it up? What does he have to gain?
Okay. Bill Burns and Corso's relationship was not as smooth as it would seem to be.
Are you going to leave it at that, or do you want to dive in?
Let's dive in, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to dive in between Bill Burns and Colonel Corso, but we have to do it for the next segment in the final hour of the show. Ron Regier, longtime UFO researcher, joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.